Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canon, chapter 7, text 28, the son of Drona punished. Nayasyan yattamang kinchid. Okay, I'll just read it. Astram pachyavakarshanam jayastrateja unnadham astragyo yastratejasa nehyasyan jyattamam kinchid astram pachyavakarshanam jayastrateja unnadham astragyo yastratejasa nehyasyan yattamam kinchid astram pachyavakarshanam jayastrateja unnadham astragyo yastratejasa.
He certainly.
Asya.
Of it.
Anyatamam.
Other.
Kinchit.
Anything.
Astram.
Weapon.
Prati.
Counter.
Avakarshanam.
Reactionary.
Jahi.
Subdue it.
Astrateja.
The glare of this weapon.
Unnatam.
Very powerful.
Astragya.
Expert in military science.
He.
As a matter of fact.
Astratejasa.
By the influence of your weapon.
Oh Arjuna,
only another Brahmastra can counteract this weapon. Since you are expert in the military science, subdue this weapon's glare with the power of your own weapon.
Purport.
For the atomic bombs, there is no counterweapon to neutralize the effects. But by subtle science, the action of a Brahmastra can be counteracted. And those who were expert in the military science in those days could counteract the Brahmastra. The son of Dronacharya did not know the art of counteracting the weapon. And therefore Arjuna was asked to counteract it by the power of his own weapon. Shisuta Goswami said, hearing this from the personality of Godhead, Arjuna touched water for purification, and after circumambulating Lord Sri Krishna, he cast his Brahmastra weapon to counteract the other one. Om again, it's Imananda Syakana Juna Shlakaya Chakshur Militam Nina Tazumai Sri Guru Bainamaha. You're getting here battlefield information of the subtle material science of Vedic warfare. You're hearing how Arjuna was instructed to counteract the Brahmastra, the localized nuclear weapon, with a nuclear weapon of his own. And that way, save the situation. Besides the knowledge of these subtle sciences that you're getting by hearing this chapter, more importantly, you're understanding how Arjuna can solve every circumstance perfectly by taking knowledge from Krishna. You may recall that Arjuna had approached Krishna and asked him, what's going on? Where and how is this dangerous effulgence happening? He referred to Krishna as Deva Deva, O Lord of Lords. And because Arjuna is taking guidance directly from Krishna, there is never any puzzle for Arjuna. Arjuna's love for Krishna is of that status that Krishna becomes his personal advisor, his friend, even his chariot driver. These are some of the flavors and relationships in pure love of Godhead. Unless people start to understand these different flavors and relationships, they'll never turn away from material existence. Because even though material existence has its hardships, people seek to find some flavor in it. And that flavor they're looking for is in relationships. They can't understand that just by looking for something in the material atmosphere, you immediately set yourself up for distress. Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto that the distress from sense gratification or material activities begins even in the planning stage, or to speak of the acting stage. So as soon as you begin to look for water in the desert, you are in trouble. That means as soon as you begin to look for happiness in this material world, that's when your troubles begin. But people think that everything can be fixed by adjustment. Let us adjust our struggle in this material world. And if we can come up with the right adjustment, we will have happiness indeed. But you cannot adjust your way to happiness in this world because there's no happiness in this world. You have to be trained to lift your vision away from the glare of Maya and fix your vision on Krishna's service. As you've been experiencing in the programs we've been doing in Masterton and Palmerston North, you can see how people are just caught up in the glare of Maya, and they say so much nonsense talk, and they're used to thinking that they're speaking very profound words. They're used to that, because no one ever calls them out on it. They talk to their friends, they talk to their relatives, even they talk to their teachers at the university, even if they're studying philosophy or religion. And all these things they're saying, everyone will nod their head, yes, yes, very good, yes, that's true. You have to go through life picking a bit from here, picking a bit from there, making your own tossed salad. Yes, that's all right, that's very noble. But when they come face to face with devotees and discuss these things with devotees, then all of a sudden they begin to realize this doesn't make much sense. That is our great service we're performing on behalf of society. We're actually giving some intelligence to people. As you heard, they have no intelligence. They babble so many things. And no one can actually point out the defects in all their babble, except a Krishna conscious person. Because we are hearing from Krishna, that is where our incalculable advantage comes from. And we should never forget that point. We are taking our knowledge from Krishna. That's what makes knowledge of Krishna consciousness special. And we ask anybody, please, all right, you say you have some body of knowledge, some comprehensive spiritual understanding, let's see it. Nothing can stand up to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So we don't waste our time criticizing other scriptures and other religions. No, that just leads to an agitated mind. We do, however, honestly and accurately point out that there is no system of spiritual understanding as comprehensive, detailed, and precise as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Any objective person will be able to see that. So we have to understand that our advantage. Once you understand something about Krishna, you'll be very eager to hear from Krishna. But if you don't understand Krishna, then naturally you'll think that, oh, there's Krishna, there's this one, there's that one. It'll all rattle together inside your head. But once you understand Krishna's position, and you've studied Krishna's position, then you'll be very eager to hear from him. That's why the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, one who knows in truth this power and glory of mine becomes very strong in devotional service. So we must understand this basis of Krishna consciousness. It is not simply one religion or one way of belief as compared to other religions and other ways of belief. Krishna consciousness means hearing from Krishna. And Krishna is not simply some sentimental notion or our way of referring to the Supreme. No. Krishna is what he is, and in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he reveals that. And says, if you want, you can come to me. So we don't want to get bewildered talking to people who will seemingly kindly say to us, oh yes, that's very nice, you have your belief. It's very good. I also have mine. You know, we should just all realize we all have our beliefs and just live together peacefully. Krishna consciousness is not a belief. It's dealing with things that are actually happening. The body is changing. The mind is changing. Energies are all around. What is the source of all these energies? And who is orchestrating all these energies? That is what Krishna consciousness deals with. We're not going to be able to understand anything about ourselves or our environment without hearing from Krishna. Because we cannot grasp the whole picture. We cannot see everything. So either we say the attempt at knowledge is hopeless, or we say we must hear from Krishna. Those are your choices. As you heard, some people last night were saying, it's hopeless, we'll never understand the whole thing. How can you say that? That's another speculation. You spend your whole life speculating, and then you speculate again, saying, there's no way we're going to understand the whole picture. If you don't know, you don't know. Be quiet. What is the use of you babbling? Yes, it's true, we'll never figure it all out, so there, it's impossible. You just don't know. Say you don't know. And let somebody who knows talk. How do people come in contact with Krishna and have some desire to hear from Krishna? Sometimes they have a background of devotional service performed in a previous life. Or sometimes, just due to good fortune, they happen across the association of devotees, and because they don't make offenses, they're actually able to take advantage. And sometimes there's just no reason. Just like when it rains, when there's sun in the sky, there are no clouds, still it rains. So Lord Chaitanya's mercy is like that. There may be no prior cause, but somehow or other, somebody chooses to take advantage of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Our most important task is to give spiritual education, spiritual knowledge. The Vedas contain all kinds of knowledge, not simply spiritual knowledge. Every material understanding or a system of knowledge can be found in the Vedas. It's like you're hearing military information now about nuclear weapons, how the warriors could throw nuclear weapons, localized. They wouldn't affect the whole area. They would just chase down one person. Information like that is given in the Dhanurveda, the Veda of military science. There's so many Vedas. They cover every aspect of knowledge known to human beings. But we are concentrating on the cream of the Vedas because we simply don't want to make a nice situation for ourselves in this world. We want to go back to Godhead. So we're studying the cream of all Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has nothing to do with even economic development, sense gratification, religiosity. Even from the Vedic point of view, it's beyond that. That's how high Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's beyond the system of good and bad karma. Srimad Bhagavatam is out of reach even for the elevationists, those who are striving for elevations of heavenly planets. It's out of reach for the liberationists, those who are striving for freedom from material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam is even beyond that. Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who want to love Krishna and who are tired of loving Krishna's illusory energy. That is who Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for. And you know in the second verse of the first canon it is stated, Dharma Pojita Kaitavacha Paramona Namatsaranam Satam. Pojita Kaitava, completely tossing out, sweeping out, Kaitava Dharma, cheating Dharma. That's done right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, second verse. No materially motivated religion will emanate from the pages of Bhagavatam. That means no religion performed in order to improve your material position or even to merge into the so-called oneness. You won't find that being, you won't find that emanating from the pages of Bhagavatam. It's swept out. Dharma projita kaitavatra. All that kind of cheating religion. Cheating because it's not aimed at satisfying Krishna's senses. That's all swept out. It's like you take a broom and you sweep out the dirt from the room. Out the door. No religious practices, no spiritual practices in order to develop mystic powers, in order to accumulate good karma, in order to have a nice situation in this world, or even in order to leave this world and merge in the so-called oneness. All that is swept out of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what kind of person is the Bhagavatam meant for? Paramo namat saranam satam. The Paramahansa, the one who knows how to extract the essence of life, one who is beyond the three modes of nature, one who is beyond the influence of creation and annihilation, one who is nirmatsara, non-envious, especially not envious of Krishna, what to speak of envious of other living entities. Human society requires this education. And as you could see last night, it takes a little bit of prodding. It takes a lot of scraping off the rust and shaking them up a bit. But people, deep down underneath all the crust and garbage, they do have a little brain. But it's never been developed before properly. But in association with Prabhupada's books, their brains awaken. Doesn't matter whether you've gone to the uni or not. In association with Prabhupada's books, your brain will wake up. And you'll realize, well, this is what I have a brain for. That's why Prabhupada said, back in the old days, in the 70s, some foolish people were calling Krishna consciousness a brainwashing movement. And Prabhupada said, no, this is a brain-giving movement. First, they have to have a brain. Then we can think, argue about whether we're washing it or not. So we're the brain-giving movement. And looked at the other way. What's wrong with washing the brain if it's dirty? So we wash brains and we give brains. But we are not so bewildered to think that people have brains. You can see the past two nights how Maya makes you think, oh, I'm a nice person. And this is a nice person I'm with. But nobody has any brains. But everybody feels very nice. You know, I'm a nice person. But no brain, though. Hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How you going? Oh, everything's all right. Chatter all day long. Social interactions all day long. Friendship, family life, romance. But no brain. Into this situation we enter and try to give some intelligence. We go door to door giving brains. Yes. You are the brain givers. Maybe you can try that sometime. Just a new Sankirtan line. Ring the bell. Yes. Hello. I'm giving out brains. Would you like one? So. One thing you should be able to explain to them about Prabhupada's books is that it's not just some dogmatic presentation. That's what they always think. Oh, that's your way, and your books will just hit me over the head with your way. Actually, that's not true. In Prabhupada's books, not only does he discuss the truth from Krishna, but he also discusses all the different conceptions people can think. They're right there in the purports. Some people think like this, some people think like that. It's all there. What the Karmis think, what the Gyanis think, what the mystic yogis think. It's all there. What human beings who want to act like animals think. Side by side, you're learning about Krishna. Simply by studying Prabhupada's books, you can cope with any so-called philosophy. It's like after a while, if you learn how to depend on Prabhupada's books and speak from them, you can listen to anybody say anything, and you know, and you can answer properly. So our mission, if anyone wants to help, our mission is to flood New Zealand with Prabhupada's books and inspire people to take these books seriously. So if anyone wants to help, you are free to help. Join the brain-giving brigade. Put a brain in every home. That is our mission, to bring intelligence to New Zealand. You can see, actually I've been noticing, you can see that, you know, different countries have different modes of nature. So unless you've been out of New Zealand, you may not be able to notice. But, you know, the Kiwis, they have symptoms of intelligence. Most people in the world say don't even have symptoms of intelligence. But, I maybe it's just my personal realization. But when I look at the people, I can see that there was a brain in the past, or at least there are symptoms that there is a brain, but the real thing is missing. They go through the motions very well about being intelligent, but actually nothing there. Other countries, they don't even go through the motions anymore. So we can credit the New Zealanders in that way. They go through the motions, you know, as if they have intelligence. Even the states, you know, they don't even go through the motions anymore. They just their minds just merge into the television screen. But you can see that here the people, they don't know what to do with their ability to think. And therefore, when they get old, they just look very frustrated and miserly. Have you noticed that? Yeah. When people get old here, they really look like creepiness. You know, miserly. They really look like it's all, their face is all, I don't know how to describe it, but they just look like they had a little bit of intelligence. They never used it, and so they've blown it all, and they're very frustrated in their old age. I noticed that. You notice they're very frustrated. Their face is a very weathered, well, not only weathered, but just like pinched, like this. You know, like Scrooges. You notice that? You know this? Yeah. It's because they were blessed with some intelligence, but they didn't use it. That is so far. So into this situation, you are entering to save your countrymen. Oh, your cousin countrymen from across the water. I have to bring in some wallabies to save the Kiwis. What is a wallaby anyway? Some kind of animal?
Small kangaroo.
A small kangaroo. All right. So we brought in some small kangaroos, some wallabies. So we have our two wallabies here, and we have our crew of Kiwis. All trying to give brains to the population. It's so amazing. If they would just open Prabhupada's books and read them, how enlivened they become. But just to get them to open a book, so much effort is required. You have to stuff them with prasad, sing for them, stay up all night with them. Anything, just to get them to turn a page. So much effort. But then we think how much effort Prabhupada put into writing these books. How he came to the West, landing in New York at such an old age, almost 70 years old, and no money. As he got off the boat, had no reason whether to turn right or left. Both were equally unknown steps. So because Prabhupada sacrificed so much to prepare these books, we are sacrificing in distributing them and interesting people to read them. You can't go wrong doing this kind of activity. Sometimes devotees wonder, what's the best way to serve Krishna? What is Krishna like the most? If you're involved in distributing Prabhupada's books and inspiring people to read them, you can't go wrong that way. You can't get off the mark. You can't get off being that way. And you know that all your energies are going to the highest purpose. So many of us have been saved by Prabhupada's books directly. I know I was. I had no desire to be a Hare Krishna. As I've said so many times when I first saw the devotees on television, my last year at university, I just laughed. Especially when I heard them describe the regular principles. These people are fools. They're complete fools. They've missed the goal of life. But because I became attracted to Prabhupada's books, then I could start to understand what is Krishna consciousness. And there are so many people like that. But to get them to read, not easy. Generally they start reading. Well, a rare person starts to read just because they're hungry for the truth. But most of the people you meet are going to start to read the books because they like you. Well, he was a nice person, so I guess I should at least try to read the book. You know, but there'll be a rare person who's just so hungry for knowledge, they just go for it. But most people, you gave them a nice program in their home, you've treated them nicely, you're in contact with them, having a personal relationship with them, that'll inspire them to read the book. So, this way, that way, we are working how to get people to take shelter of Prabhupada's books. Once they read Bhagavad Gita, then we want to come in with these set of Bhagavatams. That is the goal of these home programs, to at least get them to crack Bhagavad Gita. Once they crack Bhagavad Gita, then they are wide open for a set. We're seeing that a lot and often. Persons who bought a Gita a year ago, it's taking such a slow time. Now they're saying, yeah, maybe I should get a set. And as Prabhupada writes in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the introduction, that this Bhagavatam is sufficient to protect anyone who reads it from the onslaughts of atheists. What is atheism? Just what you heard last night, that we all just take whatever we want from life and make our own blend. That is atheism. But they don't know it. If you call them an atheist, they would be shocked. Oh, no, I believe there's a God. Everybody believes in this powerless God. They have all the power to make their own blend, and God has no power. And that's the God they believe in. No potency. No potency to lay down the law. What you should do, what's best for you. That kind of God they don't believe in. So that's atheism. They believe that they have the power to decide what's right, and they'll never give the Supreme that power. They've assumed that power. That means they're atheists. So, Srimad Bhagavatam will defend the reader from the onslaughts of atheism. Krishna book is also very important. We're going to be getting some Krishna books in, hopefully soon. It's volume 1 and volume 2, the whole thing, in paperback. They need to know about Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Who is this girl with Krishna? Yes, Krishna's got all the girls. And they don't have material bodies. Especially Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam. These will give people a healthy understanding of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada always said, anyone who actually reads Krishna book, they'll become a devotee of Krishna. They'll become attracted to Krishna. So we have our work cut out for us. What do we need for ourselves? especially that is the advantage of living a brahmachari life, you realize you don't need much. We want for the people, we want that these people become blessed with some intelligence. Supposedly here in New Zealand, people read so many books, right? Yes. Must be one of the book reading centers of the world. So, they deserve the best literature that will cut the cycle of repeated birth and death. Anyone who takes part in this effort to give brains, you'll be recognized by Krishna very quickly. Prabhupada gave the example that during a war, even ordinary young men are called off the farm out of the countryside and sent overseas to fight. And they can have a chance to get a medal and be decorated and become international heroes. Similarly, this effort to distribute Krishna conscious literature makes heroes even out of ordinary persons. You can immediately take up the task of educating society with this genuine spiritual knowledge, and you'll be recognized by Krishna. Never mind what your past was. So if you want to be recognized by Krishna, if you want to be certified as giving pleasure to Krishna, then you take to this brain-giving mission. But to do that, it means you should absorb every waking moment in thinking how to circulate the books, learning the books. How can you be enthusiastic about the books if you haven't read them yourself? First, you become enthusiastic about the books, and then you'll be able to make other people enthusiastic. We want to eat, sleep, and drink books. We want to learn the books. We want to teach others the books. We want to inspire others to read the books. We want to inspire ourselves to read the books. And then that's the easiest way to protect yourself from Maya. This world is full of turbulence. Even within our Krishna conscious dealings, sometimes there may be a little difficulty, this one getting along with that one. Living in the ashram or living in the bus. Prabhupada said if you put a bunch of kitchen utensils together, there's bound to be some noise. But if you... And don't think if you get married then everything will be peaceful. I waited until she got on the phone to say that. But if you have your vision fixed on what your mission is, then you can ride it out through any storms. Don't think that Maya is just going to sit around and let you become Krishna conscious without any disturbance. No. Maya will attack you, and you have to know how to fight back. But if you're always thinking how to benefit others, then Krishna will take special care of you. But if you want to practice Krishna consciousness selfishly, you can do that, but it's considered neophytish. But if you really want to penetrate into Krishna consciousness, then live for the sake of the others. Of course, you have to know how to help yourself before you can help others. So we need all the help we can get. How to saturate New Zealand with books. It's a very good specimen country for that. Small population, we can really zero in on every person. So we want those nectar sheets and contact sheets coming in. The nectar sheets, they inspire the other devotees. And the contact sheets, of course, that's the heart and soul of the program because it allows for repeated contact with the people. As I said again and again before, we want them to get used to seeing us around because we're going to be around. Our attitude is, we're here, you're here, we're not going anywhere, we might as well get to know one another. You can't get rid of us, we can't get rid of you. So, we want Prabhupada's books, the Krishna conscious philosophy, on everybody's agenda. Everybody should know about these books.
Just like Friday night, that so-called Baha'i lady who was sitting next to me and kept cutting into the lecture. Even she, you know, 10 years ago had read Bhagavad Gita as it is. And even she had gotten extra copies and given them to her friends, and she got another copy that night to give to her friends. So, we want that to happen, that Prabhupada's books are on everybody's agenda. When they go to the library, at least when they go to the main library, they should be able to find several copies of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book. Hopefully we'll be able to arrange that in the future. So much work has needed to be done. And we can expand unlimitedly in this way. As our devotees start to get more fixed up, we can expand the party. Have a whole mechanized army of book distributors, book cultivators. See, we've increased the nectar. In the old days, the emphasis was simply on distributing the books. Of course, we want to distribute books too, certainly. But we've added on a double shot of nectar. We also want to enthuse people in reading the books. So you get the nectar of distributing Prabhupada's books to others, and you also get the nectar of enthusing people to read the books. So if you want to find out the depths of Krishna consciousness, if you want to be recognized by Krishna, then you take to this activity of giving a genuine spiritual education. Such a goal is worthy of your sacrificing your sex desires, sacrificing your egos. For such a goal, it's worthy of that. We all have some ability to sacrifice for what we think is a good cause. Now, what could be a greater cause than Prabhupada's books? They are worthy of us sacrificing our youth, worthy of us sacrificing our money, worthy of us sacrificing our health even. I sacrifice my youth. I mean, conventionally speaking, youth is known as your 20s and early 30s. That's like when you're most vigorous physically in physical energy. I sacrifice that. Smuggling Prabhupada's books in communist countries. Sacrifice my health too in that way, but There's no greater use for such energies. So don't be afraid to give your energies to Krishna. If you don't give your energies to Krishna, the illusory energy will take them. So have a good time educating people, distributing books. Then when you read the books, you'll be able to understand them very well, because you've served the books. Because you've served the books, you'll be able to understand more when you read them. It's not a material thing. And definitely make sure that you're getting enough contacts. Get their names, addresses. Let the office, the Sankirtan office, the BDU office, be in contact with them. We are seeing, and you have to admit, we are seeing that once people cross the Bhagavad Gita hurdle, then it's very easy to get them to consider a set. Yes, we have other books, Science of Self-Realization, so many other books like that, but I was working on the BBT producing these books, editing and producing them as a production manager and final editor. And I know when we came up with this idea, Science of Self-Realization, and we were all very excited about it. And it was the first anthology. It would make it real easy for people to understand Krishna consciousness, we thought. So when we presented the idea to Prabhupada, he just said, it's all right. Srimad Bhagavatam is more important. He said the same thing about Back to Godhead magazine. The most important part of Back to Godhead magazine was the Bhagavatam in the center. So, our distribution is based on that point. We're not shying away from Bhagavad Gita. And a lot of devotees are starting to take notice of that. It's quite common these days for devotee distributors to kind of, you know, well, we got to give people the easy books. Yeah, because you know, even our own devotees are thinking that people can't understand Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Ridiculous. It just takes some work. And that's what we're here for, right? We need the service. You practically got to hold their hand from one page to the other in Bhagavad Gita, but when they finally get through, they really feel they got something. So, not that I'm saying never distribute the science of self-realization or a journey of self-discovery or path of perfection, this or that. But I'm saying Prabhupada's position was that the most important things were these shastras, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna book, of course, that's a summary of the 10th canto. And you know, it actually takes a sacrifice for these people to read Bhagavad Gita cover to cover. And Krishna's pleased by that sacrifice. Krishna says at the end of the Gita that one who studies this sacred conversation worships Krishna with his intelligence. And I notice that people who have read Bhagavad Gita many years ago, they may be speaking a lot of nonsense, just like that lady Friday night, but just after, in a few words, they can come around again, because it's underneath all the crud. Underneath is their assets for having read Bhagavad Gita. I've seen this with that lady. I mean, I thought she was going to be a disturbance at the program, but you know, I just kind of said a few words and she bugged off. You know, in other words, she didn't rise to the occasion, you know, for combat. She just went in the other room. That was to her credit, because she had read Bhagavad Gita. So if you all want to remain brahmacharis, then you have to work hard in Krishna's service. Otherwise you will not remain brahmacharis. No way. If you do not give all your energies to educating the public, then you'll have energies left over and Maya will come looking for these leftover energies. Oh, very nice, you're serving Krishna, but I think you've got some energy left over for me, don't you? Yes, yes, I have something left over for you. So please, any ideas you have how we can increase the book distribution? If you have any abilities, any ways how we can increase. This is a surefire way how to please Krishna. A surefire way how to do good for the world. The more books we have, the more ways we have to distribute the books, interest people in the books, the better. Sometimes people would say how, what is it, these Krishna conscious persons, they're always out selling their books as if we were some kind of, you know, material predators or something. Well, Prabhupada would always answer, can't they see our sacrifice? How these distributors are living so simply and selflessly. Why people can't see that? So much effort is put, so much struggle is put there to go out amongst the people and distribute Prabhupada's books. And certainly you're all getting very great strength by having these programs in people's homes, and you're getting to see what happens, how joyful they become when they begin to take Prabhupada's books seriously. That should, needless to say, that's the goal of your home programs. How to help them take the books more seriously. We want to be their friends. We want to inspire them. But all the friendship and inspiration is based on the books. We are assisting them in reading the books.
once Prabhupada complained about his disciples. Preach, preach, preach. Everyone's talking about how they want to preach. Why don't they distribute my books and let me preach? So when we give programs, we are actually assisting Prabhupada, getting people to read his books. When I'm speaking, I'm not just talking just to have a good time. I'm actually destroying, or trying to destroy every conception they have so they'll be left with nothing else except to turn to Prabhupada's books. One girl last night, this girl in the green sweater, she was sitting in front of me. She had tears in her eyes, not because she was feeling hurt, but tears in her eyes because she realized all her dear misconceptions were being taken away from her. So she was kind of both feeling sadness and joy at the same time. So she had tears in her eyes back in the whole program, like, my God, everything's being taken away from me. All my pet ideas, my pet beliefs are being taken away from me. So she was, on the one hand, a little bit sad, like she was losing. So somehow that we have to use our abilities, whatever Krishna's given us, how to bring attention to the books. That is our reason for existence. Even our home groups that we're forming at home, whether you want to call them cells or bhakti branches, personally, cells reminds me of prison, but bhakti branch, you know. I like that better, but if books are the basis, then they should also be the basis of the bhakti branches too. Encourage the people to circulate the books amongst their friends. It's very effective. They may not do a lot of books that way, but the fact that a friend gives a friend a book, there's a lot of, you know, effect in that. If your friend gives you a book and recommends it to you, then, yeah, you take it seriously. So that should be the special feature of the groups that we want to form, that they have as their basis circulation of Prabhupada's books. The Christians do that. They're always giving Bibles here and there, and so we can't expect everyone to be able to go out on the street and approach people and distribute books in that way. But they have friends, relatives. They can get books from you and circulate these books amongst their friends. Even, what is it, in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, it says something like, one who gives a gift of the Bhagavatam on what? Yes. Okay, so. You can show that to the people. Isn't it a full moon out there? It looks like a full moon to me. Actually, the moon is always full. It's just you don't see it that way. Anyway. Any questions?
Sometimes a devotee, in terms of growing the momentum of one's service, will take shelter of a spiritual master. But sometimes, due to that spirit of service, there is some shelter, but sometimes one will neglect the track of sadhana. So should we also see, as far as our hearing and chanting, as a sort of insurance policy to be grounded?
You can't take shelter of guru without taking shelter of the instructions of the spiritual master. How do you take shelter of a doctor without taking the prescription? Ridiculous. You go to a doctor. It's like, how does somebody come to Glenn for herbal advice? You know, and they just come, hi Glenn, how are you? All glories to you. Glenn Kijai. And then they go home. But yeah, I went to see Glenn. I was sick and I went to see him. Never took the medical advice. Never took any herbs. So some people think, you know, that's how they approach spiritual master. that Kijai, all glories, Dandavats Maharaj, obeisances. Never take the medicine. The medicine is in the form of sadhana bhakti, the prescribed procedures of devotional service. Of course, it is nice that one wants to be personal and personal like that, but the whole point of being personal is that you can better take the prescription. And if you're going to enthuse people in Prabhupada's books, you have to be enthused about the books. They can tell whether you're really enthused about them or not. Yes.
Is it practical for us to obviously have some of these bhakti branches ourselves and to coordinate me? It seems like from what the person got from the magazine, they say that means like a divide into like the weekly go back and forth program.
No, that's, you read wrongly. No. That's for the one who, for the person who's doing the program, they have weekly meetings. It doesn't mean that, you know, everybody sits around and waits for, you know, one of us to come around to their home. No, they do it themselves. That's the whole point. It doesn't mean you have to go back there every week. No. It's not practically possible. You go back sometime. Whoever is supervising goes back sometimes. But the whole idea is to train the people how to be, how to have responsibility and how to be able to push on under their own steam. That's happening now. First, people have to start chanting Hare Krishna a little bit. They have to have a little bit of interest in Krishna consciousness. You just can't, like, rubber stamp, a bhakti branch on people if they don't have any degree of commitment. It's one thing to be committed to Krishna consciousness a little bit. It's another thing to be open to all spiritual philosophies and all spiritual paths. There's a big difference. So people who are open to all spiritual philosophies, they're nice to have programs in their home, but in terms of actually opening up a bhakti branch, they have to have some small degree of commitment to Krishna consciousness, at least. Do you understand the difference?
I'm talking about people we're meeting, someone that shows interest, like invite to send their home. They show interest, they buy some books. And how can we involve a person like that?
First, I just told you. First, they have to show some desire to practice Krishna consciousness, even to a small extent. Otherwise, how can you have any kind of group in the home? You have to have some commitment. Even just chant the beginner's levels, to chant one round a day. Something. Otherwise, what's the purpose of having a group? Just because they're nice people, that's one thing. But in order to have a bhakti branch, they have to be cultivating some minimal degree of bhakti.
I was being asked the question, how do we develop faith and singularly in Krishna consciousness?
So what did you tell them?
By association with devotees. They're like touchstones, just according to your association, you take on the qualities.
Yes. And by that association, you desire to take up the practices of bhakti yoga, and then you can see.
And another point was, that we read like the Bhagavad Gita or any Buddha instruction, any Buddha devotion, we read these books and they explain the standards and describe principles of devotional service. Someone may appreciate those standards but not be able to follow them, so how can they develop the ability to follow those?
That's why we're giving out these various levels. I'm going to make a brochure about that, because I've been talking to people at these programs, and I can see they all tell me, yeah, we just thought that Krishna consciousness is kind of a do or die thing. Either you're full on, or else you're gone. one or the other, do or die. Not so, because they're simply associating with full time practitioners. They think, that that's the only option. Become like a full time clergy or forget it. They all think that way. If you ask them, you'll find out. And actually, it's natural that they would think that way, because that's all they see are the full-on, over-the-top commandos. So they think, hey, either I become like these guys, the Olympic gold medal runners, or else forget it. That's why people like Glenn and Anne are very important, because they're actually full-on. But, they look more normal, so people feel at ease with them. People feel more at ease with them, and, yeah, here's a guy, he's got a home, he's got a wife, he's got kids, yeah. He looks like he's able to, get something done in the practical world, as they say. I think their world is so practical. Actually, their world is full of insanity and impracticality, but I think it's practical. So, the more you can have persons like Glenn and Ann, the more people will be able to see the different ways they can plug in. But right now, they just see you guys. It's like the Olympics are bust, Either you become a gold medal, winner, or else, forget it. So, these levels, they're all authorized levels. They're all approved and authorized. They have Sanskrit names, but, you have, in case you've noticed, people can't remember your name. What does Mika? Krishna Sadaka or Krishna Sevaka or, So we just gave them English names, beginner, junior, intermediate, graduate. So we'll make a brochure explaining all this, and you'll see that people are very relieved. Because they just, even myself, when I first saw devotees on television, I said, these people are crazy, I'll never live like that. But I like the books. I thought, forget it, I'll never live like them.
What do you do with the people that are in between the two situations? You've got the cell groups where people are going to get together, which presumably they're quite intelligent people and they want to discuss the philosophy and they want to go through the books and things like that. But then you've got a group of people that come up to the temples. People with problems that aren't inclined so much to cell group situations. People that have got emotional problems and things like that who can't so much go into a crowd, but they want to help on the outside.
All right, so let them help. We never turn down help. You don't turn down any attempt to serve Krishna.
But they would not so much fit into a celebrated situation.
Well, that happens. So you deal with them accordingly.
Point was in talking to Ms. Kutushka, the girl in the green jumper, like that right now.
Krishna.
That she's making the point that never in my church could I speak to the clergyman in that way. In other words, where there's an exchange. She really appreciated the fact that she, because generally they'll just say no, and that's it. You can't really, you know, there's no exchange. Whether you accept the golden rule or not, you're out. So she was appreciating that, that, that she could actually, you know, present her views and have things clarified.
Mm.
So she's really, as you say, she's kind of, you know, in between two worlds as far as the following. So.
Sometimes we see devotees that have been in the movement for some time.
You know, one thing I have to say, I never use this word movement. Why is that? It reminds me of the 60s. Back then, it was a, you know, a bunch of the hippies around. It was a cool thing to join a movement, whether it was the SDS, the, you know, the Students Democratic Society, or, you know, the this or the that, or the anti-Vietnam War movement. Everybody was joining movements back then. Nowadays, you know, no one, you ever notice anyone running around wanting to join a movement? Have you found anybody who wants to join a movement? And it went out 20 years ago. So, you know, but as devotees, we have our own lingo, and a lot of it, because Krishna consciousness started during the hippie times, a lot of it, you know, goes back to hippie days. Movement, and far out, and heavy, and so, you might find when you're talking, if you're interested in doing congregational preaching, you might find it very profitable to delete that word. Personally, I use the Krishna Consciousness Network. Now, network is that's the N-word for the 90s, network. But no one thinks of joining a movement. That went out with the hippie days. So go on, what were you asking?
So you see, sometimes devotees, they take Krishna Consciousness and they don't accept initiation vows. And yet they find that they actually, or they feel that they didn't have the opportunity to spot him, it was either all or nothing, and they accept it all, but then they found after some time that they went up to that standard. So.
So what?
What should be the standard for those devotees if they feel that?
You said they don't want the standard. So what should be the standard if somebody doesn't want the standard? Is that what you're saying?
Or maybe they feel they're on a lower standard, or they should have slotted in somewhere more realistic and made advancement from there, like they're advocating for people to know.
So it was a mistake for them to serve Krishna with great intensity. Krishna owes them one. Krishna exploited them, took too much service from them, huh? Is that it?
Maybe they took initiation not really realizing what it means.
So, therefore then, the initiation vows are null and void, right? You don't know!
Because I'll give the example.
If, in Vedic culture, even if you make a promise that turns out against your favor, you still keep it. That's Vedic honor. Otherwise we have what's known as Western dog honor. That's what Prabhupada called it. Western dog honor. I promised, but that was yesterday and things have changed. This is Western dog honor. Vedic promises are, Vedic culture means you make a promise, even if it turns out to be against your self-interest, you still keep it. It's like in the Bhagavad Guru Kshetra. Bhishma Dev, he knew that Duryodhana and the Kauravas, he knew that they were wrong. They were nonsenses, they were rascals, but he had promised fealty to Duryodhana. So therefore, he fought against Arjuna and the Pandavas. And then Duryodhana criticized him. Said, you're not fighting with great intensity because your favorite grandchildren are on the other side. So therefore, you're cutting them some slack. You're not fighting. You know, you're showing favoritism. He said, you're so powerful, you can kill them all immediately if you want to. So Bhishma Dev took this very seriously. He said, all right, you will see. Prabhupada was describing, Bhishma Dev was listening. This rascal Duryodhana, he's criticizing me. He's saying I'm being
showing favoritism to the Pandavas because they're so dear to me. All right. Tomorrow, he said, they will all die, or at least Arjuna will die. So, Bhishma Dev prepared 5 arrows, one for each of the Pandavas. You've just been hearing about the Vedic military science. Preparing 5 arrows just doesn't mean ordinary arrows, like you can go down to the hobby store and buy. No, the Kshatriyas prepared their arrows with mantras, and these arrows could do things like cause nature to act in a certain way, counteract nature acting in a certain way. So, Duryodhana said, okay, I'm going to keep these 5 arrows for safekeeping. And you come get them tomorrow, Bhishma Dev. So, Duryodhana kept the arrows. Now, Krishna is a super soul in everyone's heart. He knew what was going on. So he told Arjuna, don't you remember that Duryodhana promised you a benediction a long time ago? Now go ask him for that benediction. Get those arrows. So Arjuna came to Duryodhana and said, you know, you have promised me some benediction a long time ago. Duryodhana said, yes, yes, what is it? You want the kingdom without fighting? I'll give it. Arjuna, no, we will fight, but... Then Duryodhana said, well, then what is it you want? In other words, Arjuna is a military man, but he's coming as a beggar. So Duryodhana says, yeah, you can have the whole kingdom without fighting if you want. And he would have given it, too. But Arjuna said, no, we will fight. We are Kshatriyas. But those 5 arrows, you please give them to me. So, immediately, Duryodhana handed over the 5 arrows. So Krishna had told Arjuna that, I'll be on your side, but I won't fight. So Bhishma Dev said, I'm going to threaten Arjuna's life so intensely that Krishna will have to break his promise. And that's what happened the next day. Even though Bhishma didn't have those 5 arrows, he attacked Arjuna so ferociously, smashed the chariot, and was about to kill Arjuna, when Krishna picked up a broken chariot wheel and came running to kill Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev said, you have broken your promise. Bhishma Dev was fully tasting the ecstasy of love of Godhead and chivalry, fighting with Krishna, and Krishna was enjoying his fighting. Krishna was feeling the arrows of Bhishma Dev that Bhishma Dev was shooting into him. Krishna was feeling those arrows to be more pleasurable than even the kisses from his wives. Krishna enjoys everything. Kisses from wives, arrows from Bhishma Dev. How can you compete with Krishna? So Bhishma Dev was just wrapped in absorption upon that form of Krishna racing towards him, broken chariot wheel in his hand, perspiration on his face, dust in his hair, racing towards Bhishma Dev to kill him. This was the supreme spiritual perfection for Bhishma Dev, because he was related to Krishna in that way. Subordinate rasa of chivalry. So, Bhishma Dev, he had promised that he would keep his military allegiance with the Kauravas, even though he knew they were wrong. He kept that promise. Even to the point of vowing to kill his favorites, the Pandavas, because they were on the other side. That is real honor. Without that honor, there's no question of human life. There's Western dog honor. I promise, but you know, that was some years ago. Now things are different. I have a different mentality now, so therefore, no, you will not get anywhere with this kind of understanding. So our initiation vows, they're very precious. Otherwise, you cause suffering for your spiritual master. You break your vows. Now, you may have a lifestyle change. Sometimes someone, you know, we fall into lust In Krishna consciousness, we don't say fall into love, we say fall into lust. And you may decide to add some baggage to your lifestyle. In which case, you better have your job picked out. Whether it's driving taxis or being an herbalist or something. But my mother taught me when I was 5 years old. Never had a chance to use her advice, but she taught me her favorite mantra. Romance without finance is a nuisance. Did you ever sing that one, Ann? So, if you want to complicate your life and, you know, sidle up to one Devi Dasi, then, you know, be prepared to pay for the privilege. Otherwise, don't think about it. You want to play, you got to pay. So it's a legitimate ashram. You know, we're not against the Grihastha ashram. It's part of the four ashram system. But you've got to pay for that ashram. So lifestyle changes are allowed, but not breaking your vows. So is that clear? Anything else? So you see, Andrew, that Krishna consciousness is for the real honorable persons. You really don't know what honor is until you become Krishna conscious.
I was talking with Krishna last night, and she was saying that how she wants to. I was asking what she wants to do with her degree, or what she wants to get into, and she was saying that I want to learn child rearing or something like that. And so I answered that if you want to learn child rearing, then you should study Krishna consciousness, because in learning the mentality of the child. And how the child, because Jagadishwaraji is oftentimes very likes to teach 2-year-olds, and when he comes across a 2-year-old, he always asks them, so whose house is this? And they always say, it is my house. And he makes this point that children are very egocentric. And I was saying to you that Krishna conscious parents, what makes Krishna conscious children so different than ordinary children is that their mentality has changed at a young age, whereas most ordinary children, that mentality isn't changed. So would that be correct to say to them that if she wants to study childhood, she should study Krishna consciousness?
Yes, because what's the point of having children unless she knows who she is, what she's doing in this world? You have to stick with the basics. You have to understand, these people have no brain. You're assuming too much intelligence. They don't even understand who they are, what they're doing in this world. Why should they have children? That's what you have to point out. You have to get down to ground zero, you know? That's what I'm trying to show you how to do in these programs. I'm trying to get down to ground zero. They just don't understand anything. They don't have a clue what the hell they're doing. But they talk so eloquently and this and that, but they don't have the finest idea what's what. So you have to get down to ground zero. That what are you doing? How can you raise children if you don't even know what you're doing? How can you raise anybody else? Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, don't be a mother, a father, a teacher, whatever, unless you can save your dependent from repeated birth and death. Alright, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.